Well, there's a reason we're paying that.
Have you gotten tired of hearing that yet?
Never get tired of hearing that.
Brandon Airy is with us. Brandon is a candidate for Kerrville Independent School District.
Yep, that's correct. School board. My name is Brandon Airy. I'm running for Kerrville ISD District 2. Thank y'all for having me on the show this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just a little bit about myself. I grew up in Austin. Don't hold that against me. It was a little bit different when I grew up there.
Do you brag about that?
Not often, especially when I went out to school in Angelo State. I had a hard time there with the folks from West Texas. But my kids, we have twins that are in Hal Peterson Middle School. I've been involved with the school district since COVID. I've actually found one of my first speeches was July 29th of 2020. And I was fighting for the kids then. I've been fighting for the kids since. And the main thing, what I've been doing and what I've unearthed, so to speak, is the books that y'all were discussing about in the public library. I've found a year now the same type of books that are in the public school system, and it's a little bit different as far as the public library goes versus school. The school has education code that they have to adhere to. One of the codes specifically addressing the school library materials is it states that the books cannot be pervasively vulgar, and so I started with finding, my son brought home a critical race theory book from Starkey Elementary in fifth grade, and our kids are avid readers. And it really made me upset because this was after the laws had passed in Texas banning critical race theory teachings from the school. So I was surprised that this book was brought home. A parent from Lake Travis had told me that if you think critical race theory is bad, let me give you five books to look up, these sexually explicit books. And see if they're in your school. She said, you have no idea what's in the libraries. And I was shocked to hear that. And so what I did was I requested the library list of from the school district. I had to do a information request. And then I searched the five books. And sure enough, four out of the five books were in our schools. And one of them is called Fun Home. And I've already had 51 books challenged. And they go through a committee review process of parents, of the teacher, the librarian, to see if they violate this education code. So it's not me removing these books. I'm finding them in the schools. I'm showing that they're here. And the committees are reviewing to get them out. And I'll talk about that process here in a little bit. But I'm going to show y'all an image from this book just so y'all have an idea of what's being put in front of the children. It's called Fun Home. And it's a graphic novel. And my little girl likes to read these types of books, and so
if y'all
want to describe y'all's reaction, this is what's being defended by the left.
I mean, I didn't see that kind of stuff until I was an adult.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, a couple years ago.
Yeah, now we have the education system pushing that through taxpayer funds onto the children.
Wow.
And it has nothing to do with,
well, we can describe it. It's a drawing, sort of a cartoon type drawing, of people having sex.
Yeah, that's exactly, and it states in here, on the wall behind the folks doing it, from one recent women protest against some visiting Christians, keep your God off my body.
Wow.
And there's more images throughout the book. This book's littered with this, and so that's the types of books that I'm trying to clean up, get out of schools. It goes down to even the middle school level. This book is still in the middle school, and this was promoted and this teacher had it in a book club and had her children, these middle school kids, read this book. And this is an older post, but it's just highlighting the fact on how far back this goes. This book is called The Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. And so the summary of concerns, this website puts these book reviews together, and it's really good. It says this book contains inexplicit sexual nudity, inflammatory racial commentary, references to racism, and profanity. So this teacher gave this to middle school kids. I don't know the details yet. I don't know these kids, and I wish I could find their parents, because I want to know if the parents signed a form allowing their kids to read this book. If they didn't, the teacher violated lots of stuff by allowing these kids to read this. And I'm going to read I'm going to try to navigate through some passages very cautiously here because I know how the FCC is. And so there's two pages of this, of what's wrong. And I'll just, this portion of it's talking about masturbation. And these kids are bragging about how they love to masturbate. And it said, and if God hadn't wanted us to masturbate, then God wouldn't have given us thumbs. So I thank God for my thumbs. And then and it's just discussing a professional masturbation league. And then there's this other one. This is the racism one. And these are the words I can't say. So it said, did you know that Indians are living proof that the N-word, so y'all know what the N-word is. I'll let y'all fill in the blank. And then directly after that, it says the F-word, buffalo. And there's more of this in here. These poor little kids, did they even know what they were getting into and reading? And now that this book contains so much sexual references, how are they looking at that teacher in the school? Like, how are they, what's their perception of that teacher now that she put this book in front of them and let them read this?
Well, we're talking with Brandon Airy, who's a candidate for the Kerrville Independent School District seat. District 2.
And he's telling us what's in the books. Little kids are being encouraged being to read. To.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's been my main fight. There's another book that that had all different types of cuss words in it called Monday's Not Coming. And every cuss word in the book, multiple times, more than 50 or 60 times the F words in there, every other cuss word in the book, the committee voted to leave that into the school. And they said it can be on the shelf with parent permission to check out. Well, my issue is that if you have parent permission to check out, that should be behind the librarian's desk where the kids can't get access to it. You don't have to check out a book to read it. So if a parent doesn't give their kid permission, it doesn't stop the kid from getting off the shelf and reading in the library. And so there's as far as human sexuality books go, chapter 28 of the education code requires that material to be introduced to the parents with, granted, they have an opt-in form. They have to have the parents opt in for that instructional material to be taught to their kids or introduce their kids. Those types of books are all throughout the shelves too. And we need to get those books from the open shelf, put it behind the teacher's desk, and then have the parents sign forms if they want their kids to be able to go grab those books off the shelf. So,
who could possibly disagree with you? You have an opponent. Does that mean that he disagrees with he or she? I don't even know who your opponent is. We're not going to mention him.
I don't know if he agrees or disagrees, but the process for this has been very slow. There is because the issue has been so hot across the state of Texas, the TEA put out a policy last April to address this, to get parents more involved, to be more transparent with the books that are coming in, to hold, you know, librarians, teachers accountable if they violate these codes. The board gets involved in the process. That there was a watered down version put out last summer by the board. I marked it up because it had no teeth, it had no meat to it, and so I said, this is not right. It opens the door for this. It looked like an English paper. That's how many red marks I had on it. I've been trying to push and vote. We still haven't voted to adopt this policy. It's been
why,
a year now.
Why is the Kerrville ISD not taking action against filthy books that in children's libraries, in school libraries?
Well, I think most of them, to be honest, they don't know that they were in there until we pointed it out, and that's a problem for me, too. I know they're in there because I have kids in the school system.
So you took the effort,
yes,
when nobody else did, to file a Freedom of Information request to get the names of the books, and then looked up to see what those books were.
I still have another 1,000 books that I have to go through to see if they're in our school library. Dr. Faust, I have to give him credit. Last September, I had identified another 60 books that I haven't, I've already formally challenged over 30. 51 have been removed, but I sent him a list of books that I found in our school, and I said, these are on my sexually explicit obscene books list. I haven't been able to formally put together, because it takes me about 2 to 3 hours to put together a formal challenge. I get all the material from inside the book and as much information as possible so this committee can make a very quick decision on it. And it's a slow process. I mean, it's so slow. And so
I don't know why it's slow. I have to do is look at the pictures in that one book and say,
I say the exact same thing. And that new policy will make it faster.
Good.
So I've found it, and Dr. Faust, they did take the initiative to start looking through these books on their own, but it wasn't until I found it in the library and highlighted that these are in there. And so, to me, it should be the board. The board should be going through this right now and cleaning up the libraries. It should not be left to one parent.
Very good point. It should be, you know, if you're on the any ISD board, you should be the one, hey, what's available in the school libraries?
Absolutely.
Not wait for some parent like yourself to come up and say, well, what are you guys doing about this?
Yeah. So, I can go on to about the books forever, but I want to move to, so the school district hasn't been following their cell phone policy, and they've been allowing kids in the middle school and high school to have free reign on their cell phones, open internet access. And the policy, the student handbook and the code of conduct says that the children are not allowed to be on their cell phones unless during approved instructional hours or for instructional use, excuse me. Okay. So like in the classroom, if they have a lecture going on, the teacher can allow them to get on and do whatever they need to. Well, because they've been allowing free reign, my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter and her friends were sitting at a table. This girl typically doesn't sit with them, came up to him last December and played a video of a man masturbating on her phone for all these little 12-year-old girls, and then and through Snapchat, and then went through other pornographic videos on their phones. And my little girl came home crying and had to tell us what she felt so guilty that she saw that. And I told the principal, I was down there the next day, I said, you robbed my daughter of her innocence. And that image of that adult male masturbating and all those other girls will never leave her mind. And so I'm in a fight, actually. Right, I'm at my level 3 grievance right now to get them to enforce their own policy on cell phones. And so I have to present to the board. So the board has not, it's been a month now or close to that. I have to wait for the board to call me up to present my case. There's no time frame in the policy that says the board has to speak to this concerned parent in 2 months, 3 months, whatever. It could be a year.
So they have a policy, but they're just not enforcing it.
Correct.
So they have no policy at all.
Yeah, correct. And the way that it was put to me by the principal at the middle school was that, well, that policy is kind of a guide to if we have to be that strict to follow it. And I'm like, this instant dictates the need to be that strict. And so that's why the middle school...
If this doesn't, what does?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
we're talking to Brandon Airy, who is a candidate for District 2 in the Kerrville Independent School District Board, the school board. And Brandon Airy,
A-E-R-Y. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Common mistake all the time. So, my wife found this from a high school counselor. She was the counselor at a middle school. There's this group called Wait Until 8th. It's an organization that's trying to promote parents to not allow their kids to have cell phones till after 8th grade, smartphones. And so in this post by that group, it says 11 years old is the average age kids are exposed to pornography. As early as 8 years old, more than 1 in 10 kids with smartphones will be exposed to sexting. By 13, more than a third of the children who have a smartphone will be exposed. So this counselor reposted this. This was July of 2022. And it said, please take a second to review the stats below. The battle for our children starts early. Developmentally, kids are not prepared for the exposure smartphones lend. I cannot tell you the number of youth that I have worked with who are addicted to porn by the age of 11 and 12. And she put sixth grade. And remember, she was a sixth grade counselor.
No kidding.
Many have been groomed online by predators, less dangerous but still concerning. Students addicted to the device, struggling to interact in person and carry on conversations. The battle for our kids' hearts is real. When it is necessary for a phone, build in a safety net, educate your child, because if we don't, someone will. And will they have your child's best interests at heart? So, this is a counselor that sees this daily, or saw this going on in the schools, these kids addicted to porn. And I know it starts at the home, and parents need to take responsibility, but we sure as heck don't need to promote and help assist it at the school. Let's put the phones away. Let's turn them off. Make the kids put them in the backpack. It will stop this. I've already talked to some teachers about how it's a distraction as far as learning goes. I mean, there's so many reasons why they shouldn't have a phone. And if a parent needs to get hold of their child, do it the old-fashioned way. Go through the office, call the office, say, I need to speak to my child about scheduling this after school hours, whatever it is. Let's go back to the way it used to be and save the kids. So that's one of my fights. And then, you know, there's other issues as far as the behavior in the middle school goes. It's chaos over there. Kids are vaping in the bathrooms. They're vaping in classrooms when the kids, sixth grade kids, when the teachers leave, they're ripping things off walls. So we need to get some people in place that are going to help.
Thank you, Brandon. We're going to continue this conversation with Brandon Airy, a candidate for District 2 of the Kerrville Independent School District School Board. We'll be back after this very quick message with more revelations from Brandon Airy.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison. Hill Country Patriot, your information station. And we have a guest in the studio with us right now.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Airy, who's candidate for school board in Kerrville, District 2. And he's leading the charge as a parent.
Is it District 2 or Place 2?
It's District 2.
Oh, it is District 2.
Yeah, and okay. Just you have to, the way that the voting works is it's not at large with the school district either. You have to live in District 2 to be able to vote for me. So.
Okay. Well, if you see his name on the ballot, you'll know to vote for him. Brandon Airy, A-E-R-Y.
Yes, sir.
And you've seen his signs all around town. And he took it upon himself as a parent to find out what books are in the schools in Kerrville. And was shocked, if you've been listening, was shocked to find out what was in these schools. And, you know, my question is, why wouldn't a school board member or an administrator bother to find out what the books are? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I'm running, because I think that the school district has done probably a good job in the past, you know, with the bond getting that passed in middle school. The middle school has its own issues that as far as the structure goes that I've addressed with the safety and security post on my Facebook. But I think we just need to get need more parents on the school board, and we need parents that are gonna dive into what's going on in the school and dive into curriculums as they're crossing people's desks. We don't need people that are going to rubber stamp.
What about not only you on the school board and hopefully other people that feel the way I think every rational person feels about, you know, this kind of crap in the in the schools and the other problems in the schools. Some kind of citizens advisory committee, because if you were all alone doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it would help. Wouldn't it have helped if there were other parents that you were involved with that were all getting together and saying, okay, here's what we found. We got to do this. You do that. Some kind of citizens advisory committee.
I have held some training classes.
Okay. Okay.
But it's been grandparents that have been in the training, about 30 or 40 that helped one to go through the books. It's a very difficult process. And it's really depressing that there are not a lot more parents my age getting engaged in this. A lot of them look at the school as a babysitting service. Like, they're just happy their kids are going off and they don't have to deal with them during the day. And a lot of them just kind of bury their head in the sand when it comes to what's going on in the Kerrville ISD school.
You want to turn your children over to the state, that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
well, I was going to ask what kind of parents approve of this sort of thing. They don't care or
I think they may be misinformed. Like, if you read some of the local papers or in bloggers that are out there on the internet, they're spinning it to make it seem like it's all about the LGBTQ agenda. And unfortunately, a lot of those writers that are in that group, they're the ones that are having their books are the most sexualized. So it's not an agenda. And I mean, I've removed a book that was called "By the Time You Read This, I Will Be Dead," or I've challenged it. I don't remove them. It's a committee, but the book is basically a glorified suicide, and it's a step-by-step instruction on how to commit suicide in different ways: how to slit your wrist, how to cut across the grain, how to hang yourself, how to put a plastic bag over your head when you hang yourself. And I've had friends that committed suicide in high school and college, and that is the last book that I would want my friends that did that to have to glorify it and push them into that direction that much quicker. So there, I mean, it's not just sexual explicit. It's a vulgar, obscene, like I said, the language, just the amount of cuss words that are in the books. And it doesn't matter if it's straight or gay or transgender, whatever it is, if it's pervasively vulgar, it's pervasively vulgar, and it needs to be out of the school. I mean, that's absolutely. Any topics like that to me is the parent's place to introduce their kid at the time they feel fit to introduce that. It's not the school. The school's trying to become the parent, and the school needs to back off and quit being the parent or trying to become the parent. And so, like we were talking about off air, we don't do standardized testing with the kids. We withdraw them from doing the STAR testing. And when we did that for the first time in fifth grade, we went camping at Garner State Park, and this was 4 months, 3 months, whatever it is, into me finding these books in the school, and we met a family that was from New York City, sold everything in New York City, and were traveling the country in an Airstream, and he worked for a major book distributor in New York City, and you know, we just start talking about what my fight was. I didn't know he worked there. I just start talking about what's going on in the public school system. And I said, you're so blessed to be able to homeschool, to be able to protect your kid from this filth in the schools. And that's when he opened up and said, I work for a distributor. And he said, that author, David Levithan, that you're discussing, I've been in the rooms with them and these other authors that have these types of books out there. And he said, they have an agenda. And he said, I've heard it. I'm one of the few that thinks this way. I've been waiting for parents like you to step up and identify this. He said, the agenda is called PUSH. And the goal is to push as much of this filth onto the kids in the school system as possible until the parents start pushing back against it. They want to see how much they can throw onto the kids before the parents push back. And this is not a conspiracy. This is a gentleman that works in the distributor, the major distributor that publishes these books, telling me this. And so, when Harley's talking about, you know, grooming, I call it sexualization of the children. They're really trying, these authors have this agenda, and they're trying to turn kids into sexual devices or get them open as much as possible to these sexual deviancies.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what the end goal is.
They're perverts.
Yeah, that or, I don't know. It's evil. That's what it is. And so, I'm trying to fight against the evil, and that's why I'm doing this, because I want to maintain the kids' innocence and protect them as much as possible. All kids, not certain types of kids, all kids.
Well, the bottom line is the book of Ephesians in the Bible. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against evil in high places.
Yep. And we know what it says about leading children to sin, too. It's better to hang the millstone around your neck and drown yourself in the sea than it is to lead a child to sin. So all these people that are pushing this, all these people that aren't fighting hard to get this out, need to take that in consideration, because their time will come to be judged. It's not my place. It's someone else's. But I want to fight as hard as I can to make sure that my kid's innocence and every one of their kids' innocence is maintained as long as possible.
We're talking with Brandon Airy. We've got a few months left with him. He's a candidate for the school board in Kerrville in District 2. Brandon, A-E-R-Y. Mm-hmm. As I said, you've got a lot of signs out.
I do. Yeah, I've been working hard. My message is resonating amongst lots of people here, and folks are tired of it. I mean,
Who would be against what you're saying? I just don't understand how anybody is not going to vote for it.
Again, it's the messaging. Like they're so wrapped up and their emotions about, like, you hear book banning. It's not book banning. There's no such thing as book banning. You can buy these books on Amazon. You can get them wherever you want. And so they're so wrapped up in their emotions. Okay. They're not thinking logically, I think. And they don't know really. At the public library protest, when I put these books in front of the people that are on the opposite side fighting for the library, when I explained it and showed them, they're like, oh, yeah, this is pretty bad. That's not what I thought you were doing at all. I go, exactly.
Yeah.
This is, it's bad.
They're trying to misrepresent your position.
It is. It completely. Okay. And it's right and wrong. It's not a left or right thing. This is right and wrong. It shouldn't be ideologically based. It should be, you know, what's right, right and wrong. And so,
It doesn't really sound like a political issue even.
It's not. It's not. And I mean, the librarian at the middle school, I challenged it with the principal. She was wearing my kids came home and said she had a little lapel pin on that said, I read banned books. That's a political statement now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the principal did work with me, and she told the librarian, you know, you're supposed to remain as neutral as possible in this situation. Take that lapel pin off. And that's the way it's supposed to be. When we grew up, I didn't know who my teachers were voting for.
Exactly.
I didn't know what sex they were attracted to.
Exactly.
And that's the way it should be. We need to take politics and the personal beliefs out of the school system and focus on the education. And one way or the other, I don't care if it's left or right, let the kids focus on what's right and what you're supposed to do, what the education code and the public education system is supposed to do. Focus on that and quit pushing your personal agendas or biases onto the children. So the other thing, too, that I really want to see expand here to deviate from the book issue is the trades program. You know, we donate, our business donates the hardware to the Tiny House program at Fredericksburg ISD every year, and they have a great trades program over there teaching kids construction. You know, Ingram ISD, same with welding. I understand that the kids that graduate from Ingram ISD are certified welders and can go straight into the workforce after that. Yeah, exactly. And there's no reason that Kerrville ISD shouldn't have the same thing. Absolutely. And we have so many contractors, trades programs, subcontractors here that could program or they could partner with the school district to help come in and educate kids. Yeah. And all that does is it helps the community. I mean, the cost of living here is high. That would probably help young adults stay in Kerrville. It would help the businesses here because you're having skilled tradesmen come in, mm-hmm. and there's nothing bad that comes out of it. So I really want to push for that program to be to ramp back up the way it used to be. I talked to a builder that he's in his mid-40s that said that when he was going through the school program here, they used to build one house a year through the construction department at the high school. Wow. Why aren't we doing that anymore?
Wow, exactly. So, exactly, why not?
Yeah, I mean, kids are being pushed in to go to college, mm-hmm. but every kid shouldn't go to college.
Correct.
There need to be kids in trades, as you said.
Yeah, and that's how it was for me. In my high school, they got rid of all the trades programs because
mine did too.
I went
when they had wood shop and electrical shop and metalworking.
Yeah.
And, I didn't go into those trades, but boy, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I studied and learned something.
Absolutely. You know? And in my middle school, they had a wood shop. We don't have a wood shop in the middle school here. And I remember everything I built or made in that wood shop class.
I still have a couple.
I was just exactly. going to say, don't we have like an ashtray that you made or something like that? Exactly.
I don't know if mine would have lasted the test of time like your ashtray, but I talked to other people and they said the same thing. So
Brandon, what's your website?
It's Brandon and then FORKISD.com. It's Brandon for KISD.com.
Okay. Well, everybody should check out Brandon's website. I think you'll like what you see there. When is voting?
April 24th is early voting. May 6th is the actual election day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Brandon Airy, A-E-R-Y, Kerrville Independent School District Board candidate for District 2. So you see his name on the ballot, I think you should vote for him.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Allison, I do too. Mm-hmm. Well, we are getting ready to get out of here. Remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Join us next Saturday at 8 o'clock for the Bill and Allison Show. And coming up, stay tuned for Clay and Buck.